87 years ago, Joan Ruth Bader Ginsburg was born in Brooklyn, New York. Her older sister would die before Ruth was 14 months old. Her mother would die just before Ruth was to graduate high school. As a law student at Harvard, she would be asked to justify her place there as one of 9 women in a class of 500 men. She had been asked why she felt that she could take a seat away from a male applicant. Following her beloved husband, Marty, she transferred to Columbia. Here she found herself studying during the day, while at night caring for her new child and her ailing husband, who had been diagnosed with cancer. Ruth herself would find herself in conversation with cancer on and off for much of her life, until it finally took her life this Friday, on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year for the Jewish community. In spite of what some would deem the unfairness of these details of Justice Ginsburg's life, she did not live fixated on these. In fact, one might forget them as much as Justice Ginsburg did not draw attention to them. She would graduate from Cornell as the highest-ranking female in her class. She was the first woman to be on 2 law reviews, both at Columbia and at Harvard. In a recent interview with her friend Nina Totenberg, she would say, "I do think that I was born under a very bright star." Justice Ginsburg I was always committed to a justice that, though informed by her life, extended far outside of it. She saw in her mind's eye a greater and more complete justice, an equality that extended to gender and beyond. It seems to me that RBG's work in the vineyard, in other words, did not attend to comparison and fairness. She may have been the one who rose early, perhaps because she had to assure her place in the field or at Harvard. But I think she did not spend her precious and gifted life on how much more she had to work relative to those who had to work far less. She was driven by something larger, an economy of justice, of equality under the law that went far deeper. Such moral acuity and character is extraordinary, and it is not easy to live in such a way. If I am honest, I identify utterly with the first laborer. Comparison and envy and matters of fairness sit heavily with me. They can be debilitating. And it seems to me that fairness can burn resentments that last a lifetime. One summer, during the entire months of June, July, and August, my sister sat for 10 hours a day following the study protocol for a state bar exam. And then, a few years later, she went through the process again to sit for the bar for a neighboring state. I am proud to say that she passed both exams, but the grueling experience to this day is something that she does not like to talk about. It was so intense and such daily disciplined, soul-crushing work. How difficult it was then for me to hear about a close acquaintance. This person has never had to work because he and his young family are living from his parents' wages and a generous trust. He takes exquisite vacations on this money and is not censored in flaunting his travels. He did just graduate law school. And here is the struggle of unfairness for me, thinking of my sister. This summer, he was granted exemption from his state's bar exam because of the pandemic. He became a lawyer. Poof. Just like that. The unfairness of this for me is still something that sits uncomfortably with me. I brought it up once to my sister, and she understandably didn't want to hear about it again. What good would that do? She works now in a rural town in Ohio as the only female amid six partners, handling cases of divorce and child custody, a job none of the other partners wanted. She often finds meaning in trying to offer children the best chance they can have in unfortunate situations. Were my sister to get caught up in any of the fairness, she would lose sight of the work in front of her. But deeper still, the work of equality under law, to which Justice Ginsburg was committed, still affects my sister. As a young female lawyer in a previously all-male law firm in rural America, what informs this deeper vision of justice? I think the message from the gospel today is that comparing ourselves to others and what we feel we deserve or don't deserve is ultimately destructive. But perhaps more importantly, it distracts us from the deeper work of justice and grace, the economy of God that throws our ideals of fairness out the window. We may feel that we have worked harder or longer than those around us, and yet we all have received the same stimulus check. The first laborer is crying foul. I've earned more than this. I've worked for it. I deserve what I have. Have you? Have I? Have any of us earned the land and waters from which our food comes? The sunrises and sunsets, the great mountains that inspire our awe and wonder. Have any of us earned our birthing, our being created? There is a deeper gift economy to which our lives are ultimately bound, and that the earlier laborer in the vineyard forgot. Their envy blurred their vision. We are equally covered in grace, freedom, and love because we are God's. Neither earned or deserved, we are loved uniquely, each of equal value. This is God's economy. It is a deeper and more complete vision of justice and of grace. Somehow managing to look past fairness in her own life, Justice Ginsburg was led along by a greater vision. In 1993, during her nomination hearing for Supreme Court Justice, she would testify this before the Senate Judiciary Committee. One of the world's greatest jurists, she said, Judge Learned Hand, said that the spirit of liberty that imbues our Constitution must lie first and foremost in the hearts of the men and women who compose this great nation. Judge Hand defined that spirit in a way I fully embrace, as one which is not too sure that it is right, and so seeks to understand the minds of other men and women and to weigh the interest of others alongside its own without bias. The spirit Judge Learned Hand described strives for a community where the least shall be heard and considered side by side with the greatest. I will keep that wisdom in the front of my mind as long as I am capable of judicial service. This is Justice Ginsburg's legacy. May her memory be a blessing. Human justice is never complete, but we certainly miss the fleeting glimpses of holy justice if we get lost in our measure of deserving, fairness, and envy. God's economy is the hero of the gospel story today, not the laborers. I pray that the next Supreme Court nominee is committed to the work of our highest court, equal justice under law. Until then, or in spite of the result, may we as people of faith be sustained and driven by the vision of God's economy. We each belong to God. God has made us, and we are God's. Equally and unabashedly, we are freed and loved. Please join us for the hymn of the day.